trying to get ready for cookout. Amen. Let's enjoy the Lord tonight. Amen. Let's enjoy the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. God's good. We ain't, but He is. So let's honor the Lord tonight and give a good offering. Lord bless you for it, okay? All right. Everybody give tonight. We got a couple of special offerings in the mail. Praise the Lord for that. Some guy from Colorado or somewhere sent me. He's begging for some CDs and said, thank God. You know, I heard you in Colorado Springs, Colorado in the 90s when I preached out there. He said he's tried and tried to get DVDs through our church website. Well, that's handy. Send $100. If I owe you more, send me a bill. I'll do that. Them DVDs are expensive. No, I appreciate that. And let's give tonight. Hope everybody will do what you're supposed to. Lord bless you. Let's pray. Thank you so much, Lord, for all you've done for us. Pray now that you'd bless this offering. Let it be what you want it to be. We love you. Bless now our service. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Get right into our study here tonight, so let's get our Bibles open for just a few minutes. Won't be long. We'll need to talk about our cookout just a little bit. Appreciate everybody being here this evening. You make yourself at home and ask the Lord just to give us something special. We've been talking about what sin will do to a Christian. Because sometimes you get the idea that, oh, well, I'm saved, so it really don't matter. You know, I can sin a little bit here, or I can sin a little bit there, and it's not really a big deal. But did you know something? Any and all sin is always a big deal. People say there's little sins and big sins, and really, there's not. It's like saying there's little elephants. There ain't no such thing. A baby elephant is a big elephant. That's right. And that's like saying little sin, a big sin. There are no little sins. All sins are big. Some of them bigger than others. And sin will get you in trouble. And sin will come back to get you if you're a teenager. You know these people sitting in rest homes all over this country that are paying for the sins they committed in their youth. Maybe like old Muhammad Ali, somebody like him. Boy, I'm telling y'all, you take all them hits in the head like that, now you ain't got a lick of sense. So sometimes you get hit or hurt or in a fight or in a car wreck out acting crazy when you're young, and then you think, oh, I'm tough, didn't hurt me. And you hit 35, 40, 45, and then, boy, you start them aches and pains, and next thing you know, you can't walk. And it all goes back when you was 18, thought you was so smart and knew everything, and you was in, you know, teenagers, young people think, I'm indestructible, you know, nothing can't hurt me. Well, you'll find out. It'll get you. It'll come back to you. Bible said, he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. That's why he died, because you sin. If you had never sinned, you would never die. These people say they don't never sin, watch them die. If they didn't sin, they wouldn't die, because the only reason Jesus died was for us. He didn't have to. He'd live forever, but he chose to die. We can't help it because we sin. So let's look at a verse of scripture here tonight and look at Isaiah chapter 59. Open your Bibles there, and we're going to talk about what sin does to you. I'm not going to preach. We're going to study a little bit, and you can help me. You can help me, okay? All you geniuses in here, I want you to help me figure some stuff out. But I got this figured out. Sin will get you in trouble. And sin will cost you far more than you want to pay. And sin will take you a lot further than you want to go. And sin will keep you a lot longer than you plan on staying. There's a lot of people thought, I'm only going to sin for a little while. And wound up staying years and years and years and years. It's like drugs. You think, well, I'm just going to do it one weekend. Then you do it another weekend. And another weekend. Next thing you know, a year's went by. 10 years. You've ruined your life. Let's look here in Isaiah 59, verse number 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. That's awful. That's awful right there. That's one of the worst prices that you pay for sin is that God hides his face. And one of the worst things about sin in a Christian's life is it breaks our fellowship with God. Now, we know that relationship cannot be broken. My girls are back yonder tonight teaching the kids. My girls are my girls no matter what. We're related and that's it. Somebody told me, I got a picture of Carrie right here in my Bible that I carry around right there a few years ago. And I showed that to some woman the other day and she said, she looks just like you. And I said, no, I can't deny them, you know. But you know what? That relationship between me and them can't be broke. My blood's inside them. It can't. I don't care if they rob every bank in Morganton. They're still my girls. But you know what gets broke? Somebody tell me. Fellowship. Your fellowship gets broke. Me and them can be getting along real good, and one of them does something and I don't want them to. Sorry about that. Feel a little cool in here to me. Don't y'all be comfortable. But if one of them does something I don't want to, one time I come home and one of them had done something. Carissa, when she first got her license, I come home, she'd always park beside me. I parked in the carport, she parked in the carport. And I'd have parked my 4Runner out here in the driveway somewhere. I'd park my car in here, then her car would be right beside me. Well, I noticed one day that she backed her car in. And then I thought, well, that's unusual. Maybe she just, you know, a lot of people do that. They just back in so they can just pull out and go. Well, she put a dent. She had run, hit something, put a dent in that door and thought, if she backed it around there, decided that I wouldn't notice it. Well, you're not going to notice that. When I go out every day, I go out and look my car, and I look my car over. Just by habit. You look tires low and everything else. Look at it. If there's a new dent, I'm going to see it. Well, I said, what happened to your car? And she said, I hit something. It's the store or something. Backed into somebody or something. I said, no. Why didn't you tell me about that? She said, I was going to. Ain't that what they always say? I was going to. When? 10 years later? Ain't that what they always say when you catch them? I was going to. They said, I was going to catch you in a real good mood and the right time was going to come. And that real good mood and that right time don't never come, does it? Once they are in a good mood, you say, well, if I tell them now, it's going to ruin this good mood. So you don't tell them. I've done the same thing. Well, me and her had a little talk, buddy, and our fellowship got broke for a while. But that relationship, she's still my daughter. Now, you can break fellowship with God, but you cannot break relationship. You are related to Him. You are bone of His bone, flesh of His flesh. His blood's in you, spiritually speaking. You're born again. My pastor said you can't unborn a Christian any more than you can unhatch a chicken. It can't. Once they're out, they're out. Once you're born, you're born. But you can sure mess it up and break fellowship with God. And you want me to tell you who the most miserable man in town is? You want me to tell you who the most miserable person in here is tonight? I don't know your name. Some of you I can sort of tell by the look on your face. But I can tell you who the most miserable person is in here tonight. It's the person who's really, really saved, but not doing what God wants them to do, not living right. You're the most miserable person in here. You're more miserable than a lost person. Lost people feel guilt and everything. They're scared. But the most miserable man in town is the man who's really, really saved and deliberately just going against what God wants. I don't care. I'm tired of living right. I'm going to do what I want to. You're fixing to be miserabler than you are now. That's right. That's a new word. There's miserabler, and miserablest. And you're headed to that third stage, our man, if you ain't real careful. You're the most miserablest man in the world. And that's what sin will do to you. You ain't going to get away from it. I remember one time when I first got saved, I was 18, and I got down on the floor in the basement, and I said, "Oh, God," I said, "God, help me. God, I'm never going to sin again, and I mean it right now." And I did mean it. I did mean it. And I got up and I said, "Okay, I'm not going to sin. I'm not going to sin. I'm not going to sin." I thought, was that a sin? Was this a sin? Maybe I and I doubted. And I thought, well, maybe that's a sin. I don't know if it is or not. Is it a sin to not know if something's a sin or not? And I started driving myself crazy. And finally it hit me that you're not perfect and you ain't going to be perfect. Sin's everywhere. You don't get away from it. Tell you what happened to me today. I went to the post office to mail my radio programs like I do every Tuesday or Wednesday. I get them mailed off for a week after next. These programs will be aired in Belmont, down in Moxville, North Carolina. And I make radio programs about all day on Monday. That's my job. And that takes about all day. I still don't have them all made for this week and got to make them all for next week because I'll be going to camp. So I'm going to be doing all that all day Friday. And I've been trying to mow my grass. It won't get dry enough. It won't quit raining long enough to get the grass mowed. And it'll be that high by the time we get back in camp if I don't get it done. But anyway, I went to the post office. And I come back and got out. And I was like I always do, getting ready to walk in the house. And like there was my back door. And I stopped. And there was a copperhead that long, laying right there at my back steps. I mean, snakes ain't pretty, but the markings on that thing just shine. Pretty big old copperhead about that long. And he had his head up on that step, like trying to get in the house. Like he's just waiting. "Open the door, sir, and I'm on my way in." And I walked around there and I seen that thing and I'd stop like that. My heart went, "Oh, Lord." Because I go out there in my carport all the time. I was out there the other night, fiddling around, reaching down underneath something. It's pitch dark. And I thought there might be a snake out here. And I thought, And I reached down in there trying to grab something underneath the lawnmower. There laid that big thing just laying there. My heart jumped. I went around my car. And I keep my tools over here stacked up in the corner. And I grabbed the hoe. Handled the hoe like that. And I went like that. And I come around there. And there he laid like that. And I thought, "Oh boy, you fixing to get it." I got down there, wham, hit that thing. And he took off across the carport. And I hit him again, cut him about half in two. Halfway, and he just kept going like that, you know, and everything. And I held that hoe on him, blood was on the carport, and slung him out in the yard. And when I did, man, his head was like that. He was coming at me like that right there. And I went out and laid him on the well. I was going to take a picture of him and bring it short to the kids tonight. And started pouring the rain again right when I was leaving. And you know what? I laid that thing in there. It wasn't completely grown. It was about that long, but it was fat. And that thing was laying there. And you know what I thought about? I thought about, boy, that's a picture of the devil right there. You think, about the time you think you're all right, he'll come right in your house. He was wanting in the door, but thank God the door was closed. You better keep the door closed. You better keep the door closed. Because you know what I done the other night? It ain't been but about one day last week. When you open that door, I got a little room there where the washer and dryer is. Then you go in the house. Then you go down the hallway and you go upstairs in my bedroom. Well, I come in there with groceries or something, carrying stuff in, had my arms full, flipped lights on. Went in there and I stayed upstairs about 2 hours. I just decided I'd go downstairs and check the light before I went to bed. About 12 o'clock, and I noticed that light was on, and the back door was standing wide open. I had left that door open all that time. Man, he might be in there. His brother might be in there right now. That might be what he was looking for, his brother. But you know what? You better keep them doors closed. You better keep them drugs them doors closed. I was thinking about drugs. You know how the devil gets in your life? Sex, drugs, and rock and roll, brother. Them three things. Any one of them three things opens the door and says, come on in, Satan. And them things are triplets. Where one is, the other two show up. If you misuse drugs, you're opening the door for the devil. Music, anything, any kind of sin, lying, cheating, you're just leaving the door open for the devil to come in your life. You're leaving the door open. Thank God I had that door closed. Thank God I took the hoe to him. Amen. It's like the Lord said, I give you the victory. The devil's trying to get in and you killed him. I said, hallelujah. Amen. Felt like David killed a giant. I'm telling you, to me, people say, well, you shouldn't have killed that snake. Well, you need to see a good Christian psychiatrist. Listen, no copperhead ain't going to live around my house. I don't care what you believe. Not no copperhead. I might chase a black snake off, but buddy, I ain't no copperhead going to live. They ain't your friend. You say, they got rights. I do too. It's my property. Get off. Amen. We got rights to live too. So you gotta be real careful or you'll leave a door open. A girl broke up with this guy. And he wasn't no count, and she was seeing this guy. Well, she quit. She said, I know he ain't right. I know it ain't right. I'm going to leave him alone. But they kept talking on the phone. You know what that is? Leaving that door open. He wasn't actually in the house, but she's leaving that door open. You say, well, I got off drugs. I got off drugs. But you still hang around with them people that do it. You're leaving the door open. So the devil, he'll crawl in. You know, snakes, they can wiggle in, man. They can maneuver around. They're tricky. They can get in a little bitty place, little crack, crawl underneath the door or everything. They can get in, and that's where the devil is. You leave a little door cracked, he'll be in your life just like that. The Bible said it has a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. That's I don't know if that's the first or that's the second one I've killed this year, not copperhead. But we got some snakes around my house, man. And somebody said this rain, all this rain drives them, sort of pushes them out or hiding or whatever it does. I just wanted to tell you, you leave that door open in your life, and the devil will come in. You got to shut them doors. You got to shut that door. You might need to hurt somebody's feelings. Boy and girl like it one time. She said, well, he won't leave me alone. I said, what'd you say to him? She said, maybe we better not hang out. That ain't the way you talk. I didn't go up to that copperhead and said, maybe you should crawl over there. Here, let me help you. Bah! He'd have got me right there. There ain't but one way to deal with them, brother. Sharp to some, cut their heads off. There ain't but one way to deal with them. Get rid of them. You can't flirt with a snake. You can't flirt with a snake. You can't flirt, they'll bite you. I heard about this guy, and this ain't a sermon on snakes, but he worked for the circus or something, and he had this, you know, one of them big snakes wrapped around his arm, and he'd come out there, and he'd go out there, and he'd show everybody, and he'd do tricks, and I think it was one of them boa constrictors, a big old thing, and he'd wrap around him, and everybody go, oh, I don't see how you stand to do that. Oh, see how you stand to do that. And one day that thing got aggravated or something like that and just sort of wound around his neck a little bit and it started tightening up. And it choked him to death, killed him. I said, once them things get that grip on you, a big boa constrictor, you can't get it off. You know what he done? He played around with it one time too many. You know what teenagers better figure out? You think you can play around? You think you can play around? You'll play around one time too many one of these days. About the time you think you're smart, it'll get you just like that. That's what sin does to a Christian. You can see it on people's faces. I've seen people come to church and for about 6 months, they're just like you. Just eating it up, man. Just everything the preacher says, just, hey, that's good, preacher. That's good. Just, and then all of a sudden, one day they sit like this. The whole service. And yet you can see it. Sin will have an effect on you. It has an effect on you. It breaks your fellowship with God. And ladies and gentlemen, you have, and every adult in here can back me up on this. Sin is not worth the price that you pay for it. It's not worth breaking your fellowship with God. That sweet, sweet fellowship. I'm going to tell you something. Sin's like sliding down a snow hill. It's slick and it's quick, and it's hard to get back up. You think you can slide down and just walk right back? It's hard to get back. Once you start messing up, it's hard to get back where you're supposed to be. It really is. You don't just snap overnight. If you walk 20 steps in sin, it's like 100 steps back. So I'm not trying to get back where you need to be with God. Because the devil jumps on you and he make you feel guilty, and then he tells you you're a hypocrite, and then people do, and then he gets a guilt trip on you. And I'm telling you, it ain't worth the price you pay for it. Every one of us in here have done wrong. And I guarantee you, every adult can tell every one of you young people, it is not worth the price you pay for it. Amen? That's right. It is not worth it. Okay, let's talk about what else sin does. Sin brings God's chastening hand. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 12 just a second. Everybody look at Hebrews chapter 12 just a second. And went over this verse one time, but I know this is something we need to look at here this evening. Hebrews chapter number 11. I'm sorry. Hebrews chapter 12. And look at verse number 6. Hebrews 12, 6. It said, "For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth." Every one of us gets a whipping from the Lord occasionally. You say, "Well, how do you know if you got one?" You'll know it when you get one. When my daddy whipped me when I was growing up, I didn't come back in the house and say, "Mom, did daddy whip me?" You ever had a whipping? You know you got a whipping. And you, brother, you don't say, "Wonder if I got a whipping." You can't. Man, when I got one at school, buddy, when I went to school, they whipped you. You got paddlings. And I mean, and I believe in it still. I believe it's biblical. Corporal punishment is very biblical. There is no scriptural basis for a child having time out. I didn't say it was wrong for a small offense, but the Bible discipline is with a switch, a hickory switch, and you can't improve on what God said. Man, we'd go to the principal's office, and man, he'd say, "Boys would put a book down in their pants and everything else." You know, and man, you knew you was going to get it, man. They didn't call your parents and ask you, could they? Why? Lord have mercy, you'd beg them not to call you mom and daddy. "Don't tell my mom, please, please." Because she'd get you when you got home. Now, "I'm going to sue you. I'm going to sue you. If you touch me, I'll sue you. And my mama's got a lawyer." That's what's wrong with the country. You know who's going to wind up owning everything? Lawyers. Amen? If you're going through a divorce, don't go get no hire no lawyer. Come to me. We can sit in there and figure it out. $50. And you can split up all your stuff. I'm just kidding. Seriously, your lawyer's going to wind up getting half of what everybody's got. But they'd take that paddle out and go, wham! And I remember going back to class, I felt like I was on fire back there, buddy. I remember going back in class and I kissed, and them boys said, "It hurt?" "Nah." I'd sit like this for a little while. Like this for a little while, you know. Man, it burned, buddy. It hurt. And you know what we'd do? We'd straighten up. We'd straighten up. Now, the Bible said, "The Lord chasteneth every son whom he receiveth." How many of you will admit it tonight that you've had a whipping from the Lord? Raise your hand. All right, that's everybody. That's about everybody in here. Ain't no doubt in my mind. I can't be your judge. When something happens to you, I can't say, "See there, the Lord's getting it." I can't do that. It's not my call. It's not my business. But I know when he's whipping me. I know when he's whipping me. Your whipping's none of my business. I've heard people say, when something bad happens to somebody, people say, "See there, God's getting them." Other people say, "Look how the devil's fighting." We don't know which that is. We don't know. We can't make that call. But I know when he's whipping me. It's a different kind of feeling than when the devil's fighting you. it's just like something says, the Lord says, now I love you. You ever whipped your kids? And I used to tell my girls when I was little, when they was little, I'd say, girls, I'm going to have to spank you for this. And I'd say, I love you. You know, I give them that same speech every parent does. It's going to hurt me worse than it does you. Whatever. Like one guy, a little boy said, now son, this is going to hurt me a lot more. It's going to hurt you. He said, give me that belt. We'll see which one it hurts most. But you always say that. And it does, because it hurts your heart. It hurts your heart, man. Man, I hate to whip. I hate to whip them. You say, well, I flew mad and I wore them out. That ain't right. You're not supposed to, whipping isn't something you do to a child. It's something you do for a child. You're not doing it to them, it's for them. When God whips us, He's not, it doesn't cause He's mad and that is going to hurt us. He's doing it for us so we'll do better and straighten up. So when you whip your child, say, I love you, and you got to do this, so bend over. Use that switch, and they'll cry, you know, and everything. And then I'd grab my hand and say, let's pray. And I'd say, Lord, bless them. And I'd hug them, they'd hug me. You know what, I told somebody this the other day, and they didn't believe me, but this is the truth. When people ask me all the time, how in the world you raising girls all them years? Here's what I tell them. I done the best I could. They ain't perfect. And people say, I go off and preach somewhere and they say, women come and say, I love to hear you tell them stories about them girls. And I've got three kids and that just gives me hope that maybe, you know, and I used to do this. I'd say, all right, let's all pray. And we'd all be around, we'd get around Carrie's bed, and two little ones, they'd be there. I'd say, all right, let's close your eyes, bow your head. And I'd say, Lord, help Carrie, help Carissa, help Corey. And I said, Lord, bless them and take care of them. And I'd say, now, if they're doing something wrong, get them. And you said, you really said that to you? I sure did. I want them to have the fear of God in them. Because I couldn't watch them 24 hours a day. I said, Lord, if they're doing something wrong, get them. And they'd say, oh my goodness, what am I doing wrong? When we first got a computer, I think somebody, their mom got it for them, and we had a computer in the living room. I didn't even know how to turn the thing on. And it's back when computers, everybody had one. It looked like a typewriter here, and then it stuck up like a little TV screen. And we had this, it got messed up. Chris told me, she said, Daddy, our computer's messed up. We want to have somebody work on it. So I called a buddy of mine to come work on it. Well, he went and he actually got through working on it. He said, I got it all straightened out for you, brother. They cleared it all out, got it, reset it, whatever you done. He said, there's several music videos been on there and everything. I said, really? And he told me, so I set him down and I said, y'all ain't been watching no music videos you ain't supposed to, are you? And they said, don't tell them I told y'all this. They're scared to death. And if you think your kid hunting, you're kidding yourself. The temptation's too great. The temptation for a computer is too, all you have to do is punch one button. You can go anywhere in the world, see anything in the world. And ain't no teenager will resist all that temptation all the time. You better monitor that thing or put one of them things on it. I don't know, whatever, or do something with it. But I tell you, they finally admitted it. they finally admitted it. Well, we just looked it up. We just wanted to see what it was. Ain't that what they always say? I said, well, you know now. And we had a little talk about that and everything. And they're going to do stuff. Your kids are going to do stuff. They're kids. They're going to. And if your kids say, well, mine's never getting me a bit of trouble. Like, you're just blind, dumb, or don't want to face the truth. Because they all got that little sneakiness in them. And they all, best kid in the world. Some girl told me the other day, she said, I've never had a whipping. And you know what I thought? It shows. That's exactly what I thought. It shows. You can tell somebody they ain't never had one. Because they think, bless God, the world's supposed to bow down when they walk in. You know, and they own the world. The young lady I don't know if y'all noticed the girl that Kelly brought from South Carolina. She led that girl to the Lord last week. And I want y'all to really pray for her. She's 24 years old, got two kids, whole family's on drugs, drugs. Everybody in the family's on drugs. Please pray for her. Lord, we're trying to get her to come to camp. And it's a pitiful, pitiful situation. Two kids, and she got saved. I believe she really got saved. Kelly talked to her for an hour and a half on the phone and led her to the Lord. I mean, she knew her from school or when she was several years younger than her, but she said she remembered their family. And well, anyway, she'd been going and getting her and taking her to the church. She brought her up here Sunday, and I was supposed to take her to church tonight down there in South Carolina. But you know what? I looked at that girl and I thought, that's a result of sin. And I don't mean to be talking about something they're not here, but the whole family is on drugs. Mom, dad. Oh, there's another lady that I'm thinking about right now who you don't know, who's not here. And she said, everybody in my family's on drugs. My mama's on drugs. My daddy's on drugs. All my brothers and sisters are on drugs. Everybody's on drugs. She said, it's all we know. It's all we see. Everybody's on them. And I don't know this, but you know what I think? You know what I think? I think heroin and all that stuff was so bad that 10 or 15 years ago, somebody somewhere figured out people's going to buy it anyway. So they manufactured that stuff and made a pill out of it, Oxycontin, and all this other stuff, and they're just, the government's now selling heroin to the people. Because that's about all it is. And see, now the government's getting the money, and the pharmaceutical companies are making billions instead of the drug dealers. Because they have TV specials, and they say there's more women in the United States dying now from taking too many pills than there is car wrecks. And the woman told her, she said, you didn't tell me I was going to get hooked on this stuff. Well, of course not. You know, there's a little warning, a little print about that big. But you just get more and more and more and more and more. And they're selling them heroin. They're giving out heroin, doctors prescribed. And just give it a nice name, like Oxycontin or Oxycodone, Percocet, and all the other kind of stuff like that. And it works for pain, but I'm telling you, man, it's the devil. Remember I told you he'll wiggle in. Somebody can help me on that if you want to. Yep.
And then the government supplies these methadone clinics.
Yep.
And he goes there every day, and I think it's $7-$10 a day or something. Every day he goes there. And the thing about it, I can understand if they're helping him get clean off the drug, but they don't ever wean you down off of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a cousin that goes up there. I have two cousins that go up there. In Marion, they have a methadone clinic. Yeah. And you know what they tell me they do? They hold it in their mouth. Monday, leave. Hold it in their mouth. Tuesday, leave. Hold it in their mouth. Wednesday. And by Friday, they got enough to get high for the weekend. And the government's paying for it.
Yep.
Us. That pay our taxes. I mean, you said it don't take the pain.
No, it numbs
your body. Well, that's what every medicine does, don't it? Yeah. Right. So it's just like liquor. It's like drinking liquor. Well, I'm not being critical if anybody's had that problem. I'm not. I've never had it, but I ain't setting my... I mean, it could. I got a preacher friend of mine, love God much as anybody in here. Brother Jason knows him, good boy from Kentucky. I'm telling you, he's an old-fashioned shouting Baptist. He didn't party. He didn't drink. He hurt his back real bad, and they put him on... He got hooked on Percocets, and he couldn't quit. He could not quit. He lost his church, lost his ministry. I think maybe his family, house, and everything. And he's a good man. So don't think it couldn't happen to you. Because it could.
Pastor, I was cutting about 250 amphetamine. I'm talking about 30 to 50 grains a day. Plus 4.5 fifths when I lucky enough in a sense that people don't realize doctors take this stuff when they're in the hospitals. Miami had Jackson Memorial and that big VA hospital, and I was teaching all doctors band there.
Yeah.
After I got saved in this stuff, I did that first week. I mean, my drugs eat me up. This boy Dick Huff, a Jewish boy and that stuff that I sold my base to before I left there, he was a neurosurgeon traveling the world lecturing. They've got a medicine, and he said, I've got phones here. He gave me a bunch of that stuff, and it took that stuff out of my body before the week was out, and I give God the credit for
taking
it.
Amen.
But the doctors have something they can take that they don't tell you about to take that stuff away from you.
Because they want you to. Yeah, you ain't going
to
make no money like that. Y'all seen that Oxycontin Express special they had on TV about all that coming out of Florida? Yeah, where you go to Florida and you can load your trunk full, brother. And they come back to West Virginia and they call them pillbillies up there, West Virginia and Kentucky. And it's pitiful. They're dying like flies. I'm not being the judge. I'm not. Listen, my body's hurting bad enough. I had a kidney stone one time, brother. And if you'd have said, eat that microphone, I'd have done it if it had made it quit hurting. But then after you start getting better, that's when you got to stop. You're supposed to hurt sometimes. This pain's good for you. Is that not the craziest thing? I wouldn't doubt that one bit. Listen, this world's a lot more messed up than we think it is. And the devil. You know that scripture, and all the preachers talk about sorcery in Revelation. That same word they say as pharmaceutical. Pharmaceutical. Drugs. During the tribulation, the whole population's on drugs. Anybody else want to say anything? We're going to have to go. Them kids are going to be tearing the house down. Don't ask me, brother. I don't know. My day's coming. If the Lord don't come, my day's coming. I'm not telling you not to take medicine. I'm saying be careful. I'm just saying be careful. Yeah. Heather, tell them. Can you get hooked on stuff if you just take what you're supposed to and then quit when the pain quits?
You can.
Well, that's what I'm asking. Like when I hurt my knee playing ball, son, they give me something, and I'm telling you, it cut me off from God. I'm telling you the truth, y'all. I couldn't pray. I was laying there and I said, Lord, that'd be it. I said, whatever y'all done to me cut me off from God. I want rid of it. It's like, honestly, I wouldn't doubt that stuff don't get spiritual and they ain't some spiritual power. You know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, brother. That's how the devil gets in you. Yeah. Yeah. Shut me up. Yeah, right.
And then, like, I had my children.
That's right.
The other thing about grounding and all that, which I hadn't done a lot of at my house, but I think it's time for it.
I do too.
He told David, he kept David from building the temple.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't think of any other examples, but that was one example I was talking about, where God didn't let David build the temple, but he let Solomon.
That's right.
Because David sinned, right?
Yep, bloody man. He is a bloody man, a man of war.
Oh
yeah, you was going to get him a car. I ain't buying you no car.
Right.
You can't straighten up, or I'll take your car away. Every punishment don't have to be, you know, like that. The Lord does us like that. But as far as the drugs go, I'm not telling, you know, you do what's between you and your Lord and the doctor, but you better, if you abuse them, you're fixing to mess yourself up. Oh my goodness. Oh boy. Oh man. It's funny how you can say anything you want to as long as they agree with it. But if you say something they don't agree with, you have no freedom of speech. That ain't right. Bunch of hypocrites. All right. We're going to stop right there. That's what sin will do to you, y'all. If you have to take medicine, take it, cut it in half or something, take half what you're supposed to, and then wean yourself off of it quick as possible. Quick as possible. Even if you hurt, it ain't going to kill you to hurt a little bit. But, you know, that's easy for me to say right now because I ain't hurting. Now, when it comes my time, you know, I'm very careful about that. I don't judge people because, buddy, this old body starts hurting, skin for skin, all the man hath he'll give for his that old flesh.
When I caught the shingles a year ago,
Lord,
and,
hell.
And it stayed with me because of diabetes 6 weeks. They wrote me an OxyContin prescription on the thing, and it's, I guess, still on the counter up there. I never even filled it.
My mom had the shingles one time, and she said that was the worst thing she ever had in her life. Oh my goodness. Your skin hurts. Your skin hurts. I don't know what you do for it. What do you do for it? What causes shingles? Huh? Oh, chicken pox. Yeah. Man, I don't know if I ever had it. I ain't had the chicken pox, and I've had some stress, let me tell you. I've had some, buddy. I don't think I ever had the chicken pox.
Have you had a shot for it?
I don't know.
You're old enough. If you had chicken pox, you better get a shot for it.
I got a little spot right there where I got a shot when I was a little kid. Well, I tell you, I don't want them things. Trust the Lord, take care of me. God's been good, ain't he? All right, we're going to stop right there. The moral of all this story is, the further away you stay from sin, the better off you'll be. The more trouble you can save yourself, the more heartache, more physical pain, spiritual woes, answered prayer, it does you no good. Sin never did anybody any good. Never. Ever. Remember that. And anybody else want to say something right quick? It sure is. Amen. All right, let's stand. Now, if you ain't got signed up for camp, or if you need one of these, bus workers, get these flyers. These are special flyers for Saturday. We'll put out about double what we usually do. Take them house to house. So, y'all come help us visit Saturday. We're going to have a good time. And Ron, we might, no, y'all might need to talk about our cooking, our dinner for Sunday right quick. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for all you've done for us. Thank you, Lord, for a good night of study. Help us to hate sin. Help us to stay away from sin. God, give us a big day to visit Saturday and then Sunday morning. I pray, God, the Holy Ghost will come in here. Do a mighty work, we beg. In Jesus' name, amen. Bring somebody with you Sunday morning now. Anniversary service. You don't want to miss it. I guarantee you.